Ask the Lord to be pleased to help me to call your attention to a subject you'll find in the book of Hosea, chapter 6, and the 3rd verse. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. The book of Hosea, chapter 6, and verse 3. The subject is one of unspeakable importance, for it is to do with what you and I must possess if we are to one day be found forever with the Lord when our journey ends. The knowledge of the Lord. Then shall we know. It is a knowledge which must be known not only in its doctrine, but felt as a gracious experience. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. This is a subject I much like. In my long ministry, I've tried to preach from it quite a few times, and we are going down to the well again with an old bucket. But it has been one that has drawn water before, and we hope by the grace of God it would do so this Sabbath afternoon, and that we might enter into that word in Isaiah, therefore shall ye draw water with joy out of the wells of salvation. And now, in approaching the subject, I want to look at it from 3 or 4 viewpoints of it. But to get right down to bedrock, the starting point is this. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Therefore, man being born as he is, ignorant of God and of his truth, he can never, by dint of intellectual study, attain to the knowledge of the Lord, which is saving in its nature. The thing is impossible, and that makes a great distinction, never to be forgotten, between education and revelation. The Word of God tells us, I know that men nowadays do not like to look on such words and think about the truth they proclaim, but there they are in the sacred pages of the Word of God, and there they will remain. And there is a word which declares, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And now every sinner born again is made more and more acquainted with that truth in journeying on through life. And every one is made to go deeper down into a knowledge of his utter helplessness in things divine. And now when a sinner is born again, and that is a very great mercy to prize, he is made aware that a knowledge of the Lord is a life and death matter. And being born again, he sets out on this blessed pursuit, like the Apostle Paul when he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and be made conformable to his death. The opening word is very significant. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. And this, if, do remember this, is not an if of condition. No. If once you set out, as grace is given, to follow on to know the Lord, the day will dawn in your soul's experience when the knowledge of the Lord will be afforded you, and you will rejoice in hope of life eternal and realize Jesus Christ is all your salvation and all your desire. But this word then takes us back into the context. Come, and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. Here you see, a sinner born again, undergoing what he must go, a gracious conviction of sin. And that is set forth by the words, he hath torn, he hath smitten. And that is what is known and felt in one's conscience. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall convince the world of sin. And that is the starting point in following on to know the Lord. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, Jesus says. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And now, our eyes being opened, and our hearts, and somewhat of this painful experience to be known and felt therein, then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. And now, if I can make it plain, there is much in this subject that should encourage you to hope in God, each of you who has the mercy to be born again. If you only weigh up how you came, and if you came aright, you were following on to know the Lord. And you have been seeking to do that as grace is given ever since you hoped you were born again. How did you come to begin to do that? Follow on to know the Lord. How came it about? And now the Puritans say much in their writings about what they call prevenient grace, which is quite a striking adjective. And you memorize it and thank God for it, because it means that you would never have begun to follow on to know the Lord if the Lord had not been before you to put it in your heart to do it. And that is what prevenient grace which goes before, means. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. And this knowledge, do remember, is absolutely necessary. You will never get through the gates of pearl without it. And it is not a question of how deep you may go down into this knowledge, or how high you may climb in it. Because the Saviour said, even so, it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And it is also declared, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. There are some characteristics of this knowledge I might just touch on in approaching the subject. And remember, it is sovereign in the communication of it. And I must make this plain as grace is given, that this knowledge of the Lord, do listen, is not so much to do with a creed as it is with Christ, who is the sum and substance of the gospel. When all is said and done, go back to what Paul said, that I may know him, that I may win Christ and be found in him. And you realize in following on to know the Lord, none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. But remember, a creed is necessary to make plain to others what is indeed the outline of what we believe concerning the truth. But good creeds may suck our heads about, and in our hearts no grace be found. And when all is said and done, if you came aright, as I hope many of you did come, you had that feeling, sir, we would see Jesus. Nought will content our hearts but fellowship with him. And now you find there are these people gathered together in the attitude of worship here and there this Sabbath day. And their great concern is, being where they are in the attitude of worship, to know the Lord. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. Then you really should say thank you to God that you are where you are and what you are. That you are here, asking the way to Zion, with your faces thitherward, and your deep down concern is to have matters made right between your soul and God. Because there are hundreds of millions on the earth who do not feel as you do, who have not that concern which has been wrought in you to follow on to know the Lord. The attitude of the vast majority of mankind is, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so, it is knowledge that is sovereign in the communication of it. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. Then there is this characteristic also of this knowledge, and that is, it is heavenly in its communication. I've already quoted, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven, which is to say that our religion must come from heaven if it is to take us there. and you cannot have any hope of arriving there otherwise. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. And there is one viewpoint of this subject which is very encouraging, and that is it takes in all ages who are engaged in this blessed pursuit, whether they are in life's morning, afternoon, or evening time, following on to know the Lord. It is a beautiful setting forth of what is the life of the righteous, where poor sinners born again desire to be after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Much might be said along that line of thought. And this knowledge of the Lord is not only sovereign in its communication and heavenly in its nature, it is holy also, because the more you know the Lord, the more you have this feeling, nearer and nearer to thee clinging, oh, may my helpless soul be found. And then there is this viewpoint of the subject I touch on. You see, a sinner born again who has this concern to follow on to know the Lord, there is earnestness denoted, and I might add urgency too. Like the psalmist when he said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." The dear man had got his mind made up, and he was in earnest, and in his life to him it was one thing, the thing of supreme importance, to know the Lord. Yes. There is also determination is evident. And I do say this, and I have told you this not once or twice, and I hope you will remember some things I have told you when I am no more here to tell you any more. And I have told you that religion, if it is of God, will be everything to you in your life. It must be everything in your life, or otherwise it will not be that which is of God. Do remember that. It means that where you go, what you say, what you do, and the company you keep, it must be in the beginning God. There will be that determination as you follow on to know the Lord. Whatever may arise in your life, whatever event, you will want to know the Lord in it. What is his will? What is his purpose regarding it coming into your life? And you will want to know the Lord overruling it, that you might have your knowledge of him deepened and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes. There is also what is so desirable and what I wish you and I knew more about. In this knowledge of the Lord, in following on, there must be steadfastness, earnestness, urgency, determination, but above all, steadfastness. Remember the psalmist says, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. And you and I, as grace is given, must have that same steadfastness. You remember what Naomi saw concerning Ruth when she saw that she was steadfastly minded, then she knew there was no further argument that could be used. Ruth's mind was made up. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God shall be my God. And that is just how you will feel as you follow on to know the Lord. Let me among thy saints be found. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. So there is, first of all, this gracious experience. And remember, when you were born again, you might not be able to go into many details about it, and that is not really essential. But when you were born again, you were brought face to face, as it were, with the Lord coming into your life. And you desired from that time to know him and be able to declare, my Lord and my God. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. And I look at the subject from another viewpoint. Much might be said about this knowledge of the Lord. He is to be known as Jehovah Rophi. You know how often I quote that name of the Lord which healeth. It is what some of you would be glad to have wrought in your soul experience, and to know the Lord as Jehovah Rophi, and to feel that your sins, which are many, are all forgiven, and to be no more remembered against you. Another name of the Lord is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And you will want to know the Lord by that name, and realize his righteousness, the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, spread all around you, that you may appear before God aright. I will show you, as grace is given, some of these characteristics of following on to know the Lord. There is a word in Isaiah which I just touch on, and all of you under Union Chapel roof, oh, are sinners born again. You are either in one category or the other. I leave it with you and the Lord to decide which category you're in. And now Isaiah says in one chapter, chapter 51, hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness. And now if you are following on to know the Lord, you will indeed desire that righteousness to be known and felt in your soul's experience. Naked I come to thee for dress. And you will not feel as you want to feel until you can say, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness are all my ornament and dress. Fearless with these pure garments on, I'll view the splendor of thy throne. Yes. But in that same chapter, in Isaiah, there is another declaration. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness. Oh, there are those who do, to be found in the blessed family of God on the earth, but the great majority are following after righteousness, longing that the day may indeed dawn in their soul's experience when they shall realize the words, "Go forth, take away this filthy garment and clothe them with a change of raiment, and they be made meet for the inheritance of the saints in life. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord." And it comes to my mind to ask you this: how much concern are you the subject of in your weekday life to know the Lord? How much business do you really do in heaven's own marketplace, if to be? You may gain by trading there. You may say, "I wish the preacher would remember that we have our lives to live. We all have our lives to live. And they are busy lives. And every day, new straits attend. And life's journey often seems to be filled with complications. And the only relief you will gain is as you help to know the Lord assisting you in everyday life, is you are helped to do what the Word of God says. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord." Remember what Joseph Hart says. It would do you good to remember it. "Ever on thy captain calling, make thy worst condition known. He shall hold thee up when falling, or shall lift thee up when down." In other words, pray without ceasing. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. And I said that this knowledge of the Lord was absolutely necessary. The Lord Jesus makes that claim. "This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And now, these characteristics of following on to know the Lord, I'm bound to begin with following on to know the Lord in letting other people know that you are doing it. And by that, I mean that you follow on to know the Lord in making a profession of His great name, that others may see whose you are and whom you serve. Then shall we know. And there is a great word which, while it is very simple, I say that with great reverence, it is very simple in its language, and it is very important to reduce it to practice. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." Margin, "shall never be confounded." And there never was a day in the world's long wicked history when there was a deeper down need for those who were following on to know the Lord to let it be known whereabouts they live that they are doing so, and not to be ashamed of Jesus. Do think it over, dear friends, before God. And let it not go on till it is too late for you to follow on to know the Lord in a profession of his dear name. And by being too late, I mean when you are tossing on your deathbed and sorrow fills your breast, that you have followed on to know the Lord and he has shown you goodness and mercy along life's way. You have looked on to see the Lord doing great things for you, and he has made you glad in looking on, but you have never let it be known to the Church of Christ, to which you ought to belong by an open profession. Let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Then, you may say, regarding this making a profession of the name of Jesus, I wish the preacher would understand that some of us seem to want a great deal more done for us before we can do anything so all-important as that. But then it might be in the doing of it you might see those things done that you desire the Lord to do for you. In any case, you are not to drive a bargain with God over it. I say that with great reverence. If the Lord will be pleased to do this, then I will indeed do that which the preacher is talking about. But the word of God is very plain. In keeping this commandment, there is great reward, not for keeping, in keeping. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And look at this word again. And look at it prayerfully and put the Lord to the test regarding it in your own soul's experience. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. And Jesus says to each believer, be baptized in my name. He himself in Jordan's river was immersed beneath the sea. It is not a question, as it seems to be coming up in the Church of Christ profession nowadays, of argument about baptism by immersion or infant baptism or such things like that. The great thing is, what think ye of Christ? What did Jesus do? And he says to each disciple, follow me. Let all obedient souls their grateful tribute bring, submit to Jesus' righteous rule, and thus obey the King. Then shall we know, if we follow on, to know the Lord. And when all is said and done, there is a word like this, in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. And when a sinner is born again and he begins to live in newness of life, a different life to what he lived before, it will be seen by those round about, wherever he may live. And it is to be seen by the world at large also. Then shall we know, if we follow on, to know the Lord. Dear friends, remember, there is no neutral ground. in the things of God. You are either for God or against, and there is no neutral ground between. If God be for us, we shall be for God. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. Then there is also in this following on to know the Lord, not only as you make a profession and let other people know whose you are and whom you serve in doing it, there is a following on to know the Lord in his suffering. And oh, that is a very solemn experience. But something must be known and felt. And what did I read to you in the chapter which was read? There it is for you and I to think about as grace is given. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. And that means, whatever cross he ordains for you, do remember it is infinite wisdom in the ordaining of it. And it is not for you to desire the Lord to change it because you do not like the look of it or the feel of it. But it is for you to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And remember, then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. And it is enough for the disciple that he be as his Lord. There is a great privilege sometimes to be known as you follow on to know the Lord in his suffering, when maybe your suffering seems to you to be extreme, and then you remember in all our afflictions he was afflicted, and his love, his sympathy is made known to you, and you can take up your cross then and follow on to know the Lord in carrying it. And you can remember this. Do not forget it. If sick or blind or poor, or by the world abhorred, whatever cross lieth at thy door, it cometh from the Lord. And shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Hath not the potter power over the clay? You will say, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. And while the way before you may seem very difficult to go along, as the Lord makes it plain, this is the way, walk ye in it. In following on to know the Lord, you will say, thy way, not mine, O Lord. However dark it be, lead me by thy own hand, choose thou my way for me. And as you follow on to know the Lord, you will know, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, and which leadeth thee by the way in which thou shouldest go. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. But I must hasten on, because there are other characteristics. And now, there must be, mark the wording, I said, there must be a following on to know the Lord in our worship. Whether it be as you are, in public worship and before God with whom you have to do, or in our everyday life as we seek to have private worship and seek to draw near to God. There must be a following on to know the Lord in doing it, which means that whatever part of the worship of God it may be, you want to know the Lord in you being exercised in it, so that you will desire to sing praises with understanding. The margin is, he that hath an understanding. And that is what you will desire to possess. Give me understanding, and I shall live, the psalmist says. And you will say amen to it. The word of God speaks about making melody in our hearts. And that can only be known as you follow on to know the Lord in it. And you know, sometimes when you are singing, you are not always in the same frame of mind that the hymn writer was in when he put together the hymn being sung. And the experience in it may be too deep for you, or it may be too high. Hence you see the benefit that our dear clerks are exercised unto godliness in the hymns that are given out for you to sing, and you desire to sing them and to follow on to know the Lord in doing it. But you will find, as a rule, that when the hymns set forth a prayer, you can then sing and all the while say amen to what you sing about. And when you look into the Word of God, you must follow on to know the Lord in doing it. Then you will find, like the psalmist, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And if you are helped to read the Word of God and follow on to know the Lord in doing it, you will have sometimes sweet experiences. You will say, I rejoice in thy word as one that findeth great spoil. You will be like Jeremiah when he said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Yes, Job said, what do you know about it? And I esteem the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. You see, that is how you learn, in following on to know the Lord, man shall not live by bread alone. Our daily bread on our tables every day at each meal time. No, but by every word of God doth man live, and that is when he is born again. Oh, he wants living bread to eat then. And what a lovely scripture that is. The dear Saviour proclaimed it. I am the bread of life, and he that eateth of this bread, he shall live forever. Do you know, dear friends, some of us are hoping to get to heaven on the strength of that. He that eateth of this bread, he shall live forever. And you know, do you? Many of you do. Oh, you have sung feelingly, a crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave, unworthy to be fed with dainties such as angels have, or with the children's bread. So you will follow on to know the Lord as you search the scriptures, and you will feel, divine instructor, gracious Lord, oh, be forever near Help me to read thy sacred word and find my Saviour there. And when you try to pray, oh, how you will desire to follow on to know the Lord then. And you are bound to begin, Lord, teach us to pray. Otherwise, your attempt to pray will not bring you the benefit your soul desires. You want to realize it is good for me to draw near to God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Dear friends, do you prize a little liberty God may give you at times when you try to pray? For oft times you feel like one in writer says, I would but cannot pray. And now then, that reminds me of what the Puritans say. When you are in such a frame of mind that you feel I would but cannot pray, maybe your heart seems so hard. And now they emphasize this viewpoint of it. Try what hard-hearted prayers will do. And remember, the illustration will help you. Remember Eliezer, when he set out to find a wife for his master Isaac. What did he say? I being in the way, the Lord met with me and brought me to the house of my master's brethren. And you, being in the way of prayer, trying to pray, keep trying. Then shall we know, if we follow on, to know the Lord. And it may be, as you keep trying, you will find your heart is softening, your spirit is meekening, and your bondage is gone, and you can feel sweet access to God and go on your way. Like the psalmist when he said, blessed be God, for he hath heard my prayer and hath turned away his mercy from me. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. And it means, I said, in worship. And when you hear the gospel preached, you must not be too much concerned about who the preacher is, as long as he is one you can believe is ordained of God to preach, because you have got to follow on to know the Lord in listening. I would hear what God the Lord will say. And when you help to be in that frame of mind, you will find the gospel may be made to you good tidings of great joy, and you feel, Lord, it is good for us to be here. And Jesus says, blessed are your ears, for they hear. And you hear the Lord. It is the voice of my beloved. It is not just the preacher, whoever he may be. Glad he will be to be used of God to be any help to you. But you must follow on to know the Lord in listening. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. And now this following on is also to be known in submission to the will of God, in whatever his dealings with us may be. And his dealings sometimes, I say this with great reverence, his dealings sometimes may be surprising. And you may have various thoughts rising up in your breast. And you might say with Jacob, All these things are against me. But that is not the truth of the matter. This word is the injunction to you. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. Dear Job was surprised at the dealings of God, and well he might be. For he could almost say with Jeremiah, surely against me is he turned. Hey, but what did he say? I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. He was following on to know the Lord. And what did he say in doing that? Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. And when he got a little light on it, what did he say then? He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And he did. And so will you, if you are helped to follow on to know the Lord in all his dealings with you, and seek to be submissive to whatever his will is for you to be and to do. Like the psalmist when he said, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgment help me. The time has come for the amen. There is just another thought which might help you in everyday life. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. And now, there is to be a following on to know the Lord in his providential dealings. Because, even good Elijah long ago had to do it. Godly man, great prophet in Israel that he was. Don't you think Elijah thought it very strange when it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up? Then he was concerned to follow on to know the Lord. And the Lord had made all provision. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, for I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. And so, you will find in the providential dealings of God, if a brook should dry up, God has got another door to open. There is another way he is ordaining for you to go along, where he will still make his goodness to pass before you. Because if once you are set going by the grace of God to follow on to know the Lord, you will find his word is this, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Then shall we know, if we follow on, to know the Lord. And what did Jesus say? If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also shall my servant be. Amen.